The following seminar was recorded at the Worship God 2014 conference and features David Zimmer. It's entitled Advanced Drumming, Craft and Creativity.
We don't have a ton of time today, but I'm going to try to stretch our time as much as I possibly can. And if you're not asking questions, I'm just going to keep throwing stuff at you. Yeah. Yes, I am. Uh-huh. How many drummers in here are using percussion every Sunday? Okay, one, two, okay. Any drummers that are going between percussion and drum set on Sundays? Okay, sometimes there's a singer with a guitar and you may jump in on cajon or something. Okay, yeah, I brought it so that we could look at it today and I could show you some help things that have helped me and talk through that. So I want to make sure I have enough time to go through that as well. Yeah, I do. Congas, yeah, djembes. Yeah, noisemakers as well. I mean, when I went to school, I studied classical percussion, so I had to do timpani and marimba and vibraphone and all those. But yeah, I've gotten more gigs on this little box than the drum set, which is funny. But yeah, I'm hoping to look at that as well. There's a lot of really fun things that hopefully I can show you guys, make your life maybe a little bit easier, make it maybe a little bit more challenging if you're looking to kind of up the game on the cajon. So let me just kind of start this time off by praying quickly, and we'll jump right in, all right? Lord God, as we heard this morning, we are called sons and daughters of you. Lord, you've brought us into your family, and that's such a humbling thought. God, as your children, we want to call out to you, Abba, Father. We want to do whatever we can excellently for you, to bring you glory, and to draw this world to yourself. God, give us strength, a humility, just give us wisdom as we navigate this drum packet and talk through how to best serve your bride. In your precious name, amen. Great. So, a couple more questions that are going to help me. Yeah, there's packets down here if you guys just stepped in that you want to grab, as we're going to be looking at that. How many of you in here have been playing under a year? Okay, great. How many have been playing over 10 years? Over 20 years? Right on, good. Sweet. Well, I'm hoping that I would be helpful to those of you who have been playing just a year and those of you who have been playing 20 years beyond. That's good. Great. Well, I think a universal thing that I can talk about just in this afternoon that will help all of us, even though those of you who have been playing 20 plus years, is just technique. How to improve your technique? Because I have taught drummers who have played for 10, 15 years who the first lesson, I can pick up, oh wait, you haven't never been taught technique. You've never been taught how to hold your sticks and how to play. So as boring as this might be for some of you, just bear with us. We're going to move on further. But I want to talk about technique really, really quick. So I'm going to sit down and try to still talk into this microphone. There is a book. So on the back, if you turn your packets to the back, those are helpful resources, whether you take lessons or not. If you do take lessons, if you take lessons with me, you will own all of those books because they are extremely helpful. If you don't take lessons at all, those are awesome books just to buy, just to go pick up. You can find them on Amazon for super cheap. And just start working through them, and hopefully I'm going to give you a taste of a book. So if you really dig it, you can go out and buy it, and you can work through it on your own. They're awesome books. They're going to help you a Sunday to Sunday, just give you new ideas, help improve your technique. So the first book I want to go through quickly is, I have a couple pages in the packet from a book called Stick Control. It looks like this. Some of you may be familiar with it, some of you may not be. I think the pages that I included from Stick Control are the double stroke rules, which are on page 8. That's what that book looks like. I think page 8 is it, those doubles, which I can talk about. But it basically looks like this, and it just has a series of eighth notes. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and you're alternating the sticking. So it's right, left, right, left. The one you're probably looking at has right, left, and then a bunch of 16th notes, right, left, left, right, left, left. Those are going to be doubles, which if you're confused, that's okay. We're going to get there. But just to start out, this first page in this book is are just eighth notes, and you set them to a metronome. And these are the things I want to show you this afternoon. Okay, so a couple things, just for those of you guys to know, I'm going to move this hi-hat, is proper technique is going to be flat wrists, okay? And I tell my students that to make an A on the snare drum, just like this if you can't see. Okay, what this does is it does a lot for your technique, like I've said, Sunday in, Sunday out. A lot of drummers have the tendency, the temptation to turn in like this, and it tightens their shoulders, and it actually is using all the strength from your arms. So you see a lot of drummers who are drumming like this with their arms. There's a lot of tightness here, and you're gripping the stick tight, and you're not getting a proper attack of the drum, okay? And here, what I want to do is I want to turn these wrists so that we're getting our attack from the wrist, okay? It's just like a baseball player. If you were to throw a baseball, you never see anybody throw a baseball like this, right? They're winding up, and they're following through with their wrist. That's where their power's coming from, okay? So if you take anything away, you can take that away, that you want these flat wrists. This is where your power's going to come from here. Your looseness in holding the stick, and just proper technique. You see a lot of drummers, you may have heard the term, that's a very fluid drummer. This sort of idea of using, letting the stick do the bouncing, and using your wrist to propel the stick. Does that make sense? Okay, the difference would be, again, tightening here, thumbs on top, okay, and you're getting a lot of just tightness all over. But we want to loosen. We want to loosen up. The shoulders come down. The back stays straight. And that's proper technique. Okay? Let me just try to fix this. Okay. So any questions so far? That's easy. Okay. Now, let's just talk about those single eighth notes and why those are important. If what you want to do is you want to get a metronome. Set your metronome to eighth notes, okay? 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and, okay? And the idea is to be playing with those eighth notes, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. And that's in the first page of the stick control book. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. If you don't, if you've been drumming, just starting, or you've been drumming for a while, this stick control book is the most important book you can buy, because it's going to be basically the fundamentals of drumming. And it's a very easy book to follow through. You just set a tempo, and you play along to that, okay? That's going to be our foundation, those eighth notes, those 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and, okay? Alternating your sticking are going to be singles. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Okay. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. Then you have doubles. It's going to be right, right, left, left. Right, right, left, left, right, right, left, left. And then this is kind of a funny word. You have paradiddles, which you may or may not have heard that terminology. But it's right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Or paradiddle. Paradiddle. Right, left, right, right. Right, left, right, right. Left, right, left, left. Okay, and so why are those important? Well, basically, the fundamentals of drumming are found in those three exercises. Singles, doubles, paradiddles. Okay, so if you're doing a fill, you could be using singles, whether they're eighth notes or sixteenths, alternating right, left, right, left. Okay, or doubles, right, right, left, left. Okay, or paradiddles, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Okay, does that make sense? Singles, doubles, paradiddles, those are super important. And you're going to find that in that stick control book. Okay, those would be considered rudiments. Okay, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with rudiments. And there's so many things you can do with these rudiments. You can think of these rudiments as scales, like scales on a guitar or scales on a piano. That's what these rudiments are. Singles, doubles, and paradiddles are just like your scales that you run. And you're putting these scales together to make chords, to make music from the drums. And it's how you're alternating these around the drums is how these get exciting. Okay? There is another rudiment that's very exciting. They're called triplets. Okay? Who's familiar with triplets? Just raise your hand. Okay? Right on. Okay. The coolest thing about triplets is a series of three notes. They're eighth notes. One and a, two and a, three and a, four and a. Okay? And they're grouped in threes. Two and a, three and a, four and a. Or triplet, triplet. Triplet, 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 triplet. Okay, and I'm going to move between eighth notes and triplets. One and two and three and four and triplet, 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 triplet. Okay? Now, the coolest thing about triplets and the coolest thing about all these rudiments is that once you get these scales down, okay, so to speak, once you get these rudiments down, you can now use these rudiments in your drumming. You can kind of put sentences together, so to speak, okay? We're learning the alphabet in these rudiments, and we're putting sentences together when we're using them in different contexts, okay? So I want you to turn in your packet to page 5. Okay, page 5 is out of a book called Triplets Around the Drums, and it's seen up here on this music stand. One of the books I also included in the back of your pamphlet. And page 5, okay, has an eighth rest and then two triplets. Okay, so an eighth rest you're not going to be playing. You're going to be playing and a, two, and a, three, and a, four, and a. You're going to be resting on all four beats. Okay? That top line is your high tom. That middle line is your snare drum. That bottom line is your kick drum. Okay? This is just kind of an introductory into how to read drum music. And basically, where these get exciting is you're putting that... Yeah, that eighth rest is going to be where your kick is. Kick, kick, and two, and three, and four, and I'm going to slow them down and count by triplets. Triplet, 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 triplet. Does that make sense? Is anybody lost? Basic stuff? Okay, cool. And here's kind of the context, okay? So instead of just playing triplet, triplet, it can get exciting when you start incorporating that as a fill. When you're drumming.
Basic triplets. Triplet, 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 triplet. Okay? Number 14. Becomes a complicated fill, but it's as basic as just those simple triplets. Triplet, triplet.
Any and all of these rudiments can apply in the context of drumming. Okay? Any questions Is that kind of making sense? Okay, cool. Any questions that are like are unrelated that you, okay, good. Okay, cool. Okay, also, I want to look at a page. Let's go back to that doubles page and kind of move forward in that stick control book. That doubles page is page 8. Turn to page 8. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, just where to place them, yeah. So the question was, where do you pick those accents? Say if you're doing that same triplet fill I did, where do you pick those accents instead of just like making it sound really just basic? Basically, you can play with each note, okay? You can play with the and or the triplet, one anda, two anda, three anda, four anda, bring out that accent. So maybe your kick is the accent. Triple it, 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 triple it. You know, maybe the last one is your accent. So that's basically, you're just playing with each one. You can start with beat one. You can go to the and, the You can go to the and, one and, one and, and you can do it that way. That's a really good question, though. Let's look at page 8, these doubles. Okay, so to not give you a super long lesson in kind of a double struck, I'm going to give you kind of a really quick idea of what a double stroke is. A double stroke is bouncing the stick for one beat for two beats, but you're emphasizing one beat. Okay. So it's sort of like a drag, okay? So it's like, okay, I'm going to move this. Make sure you can see my hands, okay? It's almost like a drag. Okay, so I'm lifting the stick, still flat wrists, okay? Lifting the stick not with my arm, okay, but with my wrist, okay? And I'm almost pushing through the drum. That's a double stroke. Okay, see how loose the stick is? This is super applicable because this affects a lot of things. It affects speed. It affects ghost notes. Have you heard of ghost notes? I'll show you what I'm talking about there. But basically, these are what double strokes are, okay? So they're 16th notes, one E. What they aren't is this, holding the stick tight, using your wrists, using your arm and your wrist tight like this. Okay, my teacher used to always say you want the stick to do the work. Does that kind of make sense? Okay. So it's kind of a drag. You're pushing through and the stick is bouncing, just like that. If I were to let the stick go, it'd bounce multiple times. But I'm stopping it on that second beat. Okay, those are doubles. So page 8 are 8th notes into 16th notes. 1 and 2 and 3 E and a 4 E and a. Okay, not tight with your arms. We're using our wrists and the sticks. Okay. It's not loose. You don't get a lot of control. And you eventually don't get a lot of speed from it. Okay? So I'm just giving you kind of the fast approach to all these rudiments and exercises. So we have our singles. We have our doubles. We talked about our paradiddles, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Okay, so how does this apply to, like, Sunday mornings? That's what we're getting to. How can these rudiments improve your Sunday mornings, your Wednesday nights, your Saturday nights. Well, the idea is when we're playing to click and we're learning our alphabet, which would be these rudiments, when we're learning these, and these are becoming, these eighth notes and these sixteenths are becoming the foundation, and we're playing these to time, it will affect where the groove sits and also where the fills are sitting. Okay? So I know a lot of drummers who, when they get to any sort of fast triplet or 16th note drum fill, it's always out of time, which means it's not coming in back on one. So maybe you've experienced that, or you've heard that, you've been sitting out there and you go, man, that was a really complicated fill that he did not land. That not landing, that not coming back in, sitting on one, basically what that's saying is that foundation is not strong. There's a lot of movement in the time in that foundation. How to strengthen that for any player. For myself, I practice this stuff almost every day. Sitting with a practice pad and doing eighth notes. Sitting with a practice pad and doing 16th notes. Because it's going to affect my overall groove with eighth notes, okay? So if you can sit down on a practice pad or a snare drum, set a metronome, okay, and you're doing eighth notes, just... It's just that tedious, like, that will affect your Sunday drumming because you're cleaning up those eighth notes. What it's also not is it's not a lot of emphasis in the right hand. Okay, so the right hand's not higher than the left. They're even. Okay, then it's getting those doubles even. And so on to affect that groove. Okay? Does that make sense? That's making sense? Okay, awesome. Basic stuff, really. Like, you look at it and you think, yeah, that makes sense. That's, how is that helpful? Well, it's super helpful in that sense of cleaning up that foundation, okay? Now, let's get into groove exercises. Let's get into groove concepts. Can you turn your page? Let me find it. Oh, okay. Turn to page 6. Okay. So the most important things I would say when you're a drummer and you're drumming for any scenario, whether it's a church or an artist or you're playing percussion or anything, it would be obviously time that's coming first, right? You are the timekeeper in the band. People should be relying on you to keep the time versus you relying on the worship pastor or anybody else to keep the time. You are the timekeeper. That's going to be your first thing. Second, it's going to be, I would say, technique. You want good technique because it's going to affect, number one, your time. It's going to affect your time. And then from then, you're getting into creativity and you're getting into new fills and how to try different things and different grooves and what that all looks like. But those first two are super important, okay? We talked a little bit about technique, talked a little bit about time, and we're going to kind of apply this with page 6, okay? This is a really cool exercise. This is from a book called A Linear Drumming, which I absolutely love because what this book is doing is it's creating independence between your right hand, your left hand, and your foot. And that's basically what holding a groove is that independence, okay? So page 6, it's combinations between your right hand and your kick, and then your left hand and your kick, and you're repeating it twice, okay? Basically, if you were to count this out loud, it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3, 4, rest, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay? Now, by setting a metronome, which I should have brought, by setting a metronome, you're playing to this metronome exactly. Okay? That's the right hand. Left hand, B. If you can get that down in time, there will be drastic changes in your playing. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. Basically, for anything that's slower like that, like those slow kicks, I'm using my foot for that. I tend to play heel up, just because that's how I learned. And sometimes with heel up players, the beater will tend to stay close to the head. Which a lot of purists will say to get the beater off the head. I kind of go both ways, and sometimes it's hard to hear in a live setting if the beater is pushing against the head or not. What I mean is by staying on the head, okay? But for slow things, I'm going to keep that kick pedal off the head. And I'm not playing with my thigh. I'm kind of pushing forward with my calf, because here's the difference. Here would be playing with your thigh. I think you'd kind of be heavy. You don't have a lot of finesse at the kick. And I came from the jazz world where you're playing beats on all four, but you're just feathering the kick, as they would say. And so I would play with my heel up because it gives me more control. For faster stuff, I'm always playing heel up for everything. So it's kind of like, I don't know if it's an indirect way of answering your question, but there's two schools of thought. There's heel down, letting that beater come up every time, which you're seeing a lot of distance. And then there's heel up, which you're not seeing as much distance, but I feel like I have more control. Does that make sense? And then for fast stuff like double kick, I do this thing that's called like a Picaro push. It's from a drummer named Jeff Picaro, who's in Toto. And he would do this thing where he'd start far off from the kick pedal, like on the end, and he'd push forward, literally. And these are great shoes to do it in because they're like basketball shoes. So I know you guys can't really see, but those of you who are sitting here can kind of see that. You're pushing forward with that. You're starting far and pushing forward. And that pedal's kind of staying on the kick drum, but when you're going that fast, it's hard to tell. So, does that make sense? So to learn that is doing it slow. That would be the idea. You're lifting and putting weight on the second kick. So that was the kind of an indirect... A long way of saying that. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Left-handed kick, yeah. A lot of it, yep. Uh-huh, yep. And a lot of linear drumming is just complete independence. Like, sometimes it's not always not hitting. I feel like in this book, there's another page from this book. Turn the page, actually. Yeah, go to page 7. Yeah, it is. It is. And I think why it makes that so cool and it makes it actually so difficult is because they're consistent patterns at fast tempos that's just all independence between snare and kick. Okay, so page 7. If you guys are looking at that, those are all 16th notes. Again, 16th notes are 1 E and a, 2 E and a, 3 E and a, 4 E and a. Okay? And they've written out that sticking for you. Right, left, kick. Right, left, kick, kick. Right, left, right. And we like skipped a beat, but it's left, right, left, kick. Okay? That's number one. Okay, idea again is this is all to click, okay? So whether you're whether you're warming up or you're a worship pastor and your drummer's looking for something to get better and just improve his time, it seems like the most basic thing, but it's honestly the most important thing, okay? The answer is not more complicated fills. The answer is not more creative grooves. You will find complicated fills and creative grooves with better time and better technique because things will land better. It just makes it all better. So it's like coming back to just these pure 16th notes and these pure 8th notes are so key, so important, way more important than we give credit for. Because the end result, when you're playing them fast, in time, sounds should sound machine-like. Okay, or number two. So that's the idea. You can sit on these for days just trying to perfect these at slow tempos. Again, with a metronome, it doesn't make any sense to do these without a metronome because it's like you're using your own time, which needs to be improved anyways. So to a metronome is super key and important. Okay? Okay, great. Any other questions? Those are awesome questions. Any other questions that kind of come up off the top of your head that you're thinking that would be helpful? If not, I'm just going to keep moving forward. Cool. Turn the page to page 9. We're going to continue in this groove feel, this groove idea, creating grooves. Does anybody know when this is done? When the time is done? Do you know? 3:45. Okay, someone was supposed to tell me, but I was just making sure. Okay, good. Awesome. Page 9, this is from an awesome book called Future Sounds by a drummer named David Garibaldi, who was in Tower Power, this killer funk band from the Bay Area. It's probably the older guys know who they are in here. And so David Garibaldi was just a brilliant drummer in using super simple concepts, but making it all about dynamics and accents, okay? And I think that is an area that I've seen a lot and I've heard a lot in church drummers that's just super boring. I think we get used to learning a drum beat and then playing that drum beat consistently the same way for every song. The first drum beat, maybe you too, was that I learned was... Because it's easy, you're alternating, it just makes sense, everything kind of gridlocks together. But I feel like sometimes we can learn that one drum beat, even more, maybe a simpler beat, like this. And it's kind of our go-to. We're like, well, I haven't taken drums for that long, and I don't really know any other beats, so I'm kind of happy with this one. But this drum beat, I want to show you, this drum beat can be as basic and simple, but 10 times more exciting. Okay, that's where accents come in. And David Garibaldi is brilliant with accents. Simple exercises, but with accents, okay? So, page 9. Here we have a time pattern. This top line is your hi-hat. He kind of spelled that out for you. That middle line, see that SD? That's going to be your snare drum. Okay, and that bottom line is going to be your bass drum. This is the time pattern. We're all looking at page 9, hopefully. Good. Cool. Okay, so we're just playing. I'm going to call this a 4-on-the-floor pattern. Okay, so... in a lot of worship music, maybe your first song is going to be 4-on-the-floor. Okay, 4 beats on the kick drum. So I don't know what it's called the floor, but that would be the idea, right? Or okay, that's your 4-on-the-floor beat. Okay, so that's what he's starting his basic time pattern off with, okay? Kick, snare, and hi-hat are together on beat 2 and beat 4. Okay? So now look at number 1. What he does, developing the 2 sound level concept, single paradiddle as 8th notes. He's using the paradiddle that we looked at before. Do you remember that? right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Paradiddle, paradiddle. Okay, he's using that paradiddle as number one. Okay, as eighth notes. Okay, and how we count eighth notes are one and two and three and four and. Okay, right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Okay, so paradiddles on the snare drum. Right, left, right, right, left, right, left, left. Now watch this. Move your right hand to the hi-hat. Same exact thing. Okay, same exact thing. Make sense? Okay, cool. But now we're going to put all four beats on the kick drum while we're playing the same eighth note pattern, okay? So one and two and three and four and. One more time. Paradiddle. Paradiddle. Okay? Everybody's tracking? Okay, right on. Okay, basic paradiddle pattern, okay? Now, here's what he does with it. In this book, he explains how you want your accents to be like double forte, and you want every other note that's not an accent to be pianissimo, okay? So, or a double piano, as quiet as you can play them, okay? So it takes this exercise, which is so cool, it takes it from just plain paradiddles alternating on the hi-hat and snare drum. Which is kind of like Ape Man sounding. You know, like just every single beat is unrelenting. Okay, and he's putting those accents in very cool places. So one and three, he's accenting everything else except that kick drum, that constant kick, is unaccented. Okay? So check this out. Okay? I mean, how much more funky that groove is. Simple, just paradiddles. That's the idea. Taking super simple concepts and applying them to the drums to make them sound cooler and more complicated. Okay? And then something really awesome happens. Basically, what he does is he moves the accent over an eighth note. Okay? And he continues to move it over an eighth note. Okay? So, we're still doing paradiddles. One. This is number one. Okay, here's number two. One. Okay? And you can do that. You can sit down with these exercises and you can play them super slow like I just did, just paradiddles. And then you add the accent and then you speed it up and then you transition and you repeat and you play to a click. And then you have five new grooves, five new ideas. This sort of like moving this eighth note over by one beat is such a cool thing that you can apply just to your normal drumming if you're grooving. Okay, so... two, one, 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 and two, and three, and four, and 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 one. From that one exercise that took like 5 minutes. Okay, so there's so many fun things I want to show you guys that you can walk away and do with this stuff. Okay? Let's look at doubles now. Double strokes. Unless there's any questions. If that threw anybody off. And yeah, for sure. No, it's great. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that's helpful. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, he said it's good to do them first without a click. For sure. Yeah, learn them without a click, super slow. Just like I did, even if you want to just say paradiddle out loud, if you're not counting one and two and three and four, and just paradiddle is helpful, especially with triplets too. Triplets can be confusing because you're grouping three notes together. I just figure that can be weird for some people. When you break it down, one and two and sometimes just triplet is easier. Triplet, 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 triplet. One and two and yeah. No one learned this stuff fast. You know, people learn this stuff super slow. I took all this stuff super slow when I was starting out. Especially with doubles too, okay? So go to, I want to show you something really fun that I've been working on that has just been an absolute blast to learn. Go to page 3. I just want to show you just another example of how rudiments can translate into fills. This is going to be more of an advanced exercise that I'm going to go through, so my apologies for those of you guys who are just kind of starting out, which is awesome. Hopefully you can pick something up. But this is kind of a more advanced fill for some of you guys who have been playing for a while. There's going to be a 6-stroke roll. Okay, so there's different stroke rolls in drumming. There's a 9, 8, 7, 6, you know, all the way down, 5. Basically, all that means is you're just doing how many strokes you're doing. Okay, so and you just you're breaking them up. So there's 5 strokes and 6 strokes. A 5 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, does that make sense? Right, right, left, left, right. Right, right, left, left, right. Left, left, right, right, left. Okay, and 6 and 7 and so on. How many strokes you're adding, okay? I've been having like a ton of fun with six-stroke rolls that, and just combinations with 6-stroke rolls that I want to show you guys. Okay, so look at that 6-stroke roll section. Okay, 6 strokes with singles. You see that? Page 3, it's going to be your second example. Okay, this is from a book by a guy named Alan Dawson that's right up here.
Based on the title, Drummer's Complete Vocabulary. Can't beat that. That's great. So, yeah,
basically what he does is he shows you every single rudiment you ever need to know, if that's helpful to you. And this is a page out of his book and talking about rudiments. So this is a six-stroke with singles. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. So he's accenting those first two beats. The other beats are silent. Okay? Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Okay? Then there's a variation of that exercise. Okay, right, left, right, left, right, left, 16th accent. Okay, but what I want to do now, if I learn this 6-stroke rudiment, okay, if I learn this 6-stroke roll, I want to apply this. How can I apply this to my drumming? How can I use this? Okay, it has to be 6 strokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I just moved beat 1 to the high tom. Okay? Just to continue with the same exercise, okay? 6 strokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1. OK? Okay, so I just moved exact same thing I was doing to the high tom and the floor tom. That becomes beat one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1. You guys lost? Okay. It still becomes beat one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Still messing with six strokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now when it goes fast, it almost turns into triplets. But that's the idea. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Now, here's the idea. Getting the kick involved too, okay? So this is a gospel chop that I was watching all these gospel chops videos and I found this. I thought, this is amazing. This is incredible. And he breaks it down. This is a six-stroke roll. And it's right out of this book. It's right out of this exercise that you're holding in your hand learning this, okay? What they do and what he instructed in this video, which is just six-stroke roll, but those two beats that you saw, okay, look at variation one. Right, left, right, left, right, left, those two accents, put them on the kick. Okay? Two beats on the kick. Slower. Okay? Track. We're starting on the snare drum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then move it on any drum you want, anything else you want. Okay, sounds super complicated, but it's not. It's that same exact exercise, yeah.
Are you playing them all in 30 seconds?
Yes. Well, yeah, they would be 30-second notes, or you could think of them as 16th notes. No, you would think that you would find the first two as 16ths and the rest as 30 seconds. You're right. Uh-huh. Yep. But just learning them slow, I mean, even though they're 30 seconds, you're still just slowing them down to work them out. But yeah, you're right. Those are 30 seconds. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Just kind of an exercise to show you that you can take these exercises, even though that's faster, okay? So even though I was playing the fill fast, the idea is you can take these exercises slow, learn them slow, and it's endless. I mean, the opportunities are endless. Maybe you don't have that fast of a foot, and you don't want to do double kicks on the snare, or double kicks on the kick drum, sorry. You can use that just with your hands. Same exact stroke. Okay? Cool? All right, cool. Yeah, right on. Okay. Okay, sweet. Awesome. All these pages that I just included from this Alan Dawson book, page 2, I wanted to show you that six-stroke roll, what that looked like. They're doing it with doubles, okay? There's the difference between singles and doubles. Maybe it's easier for you to do doubles as a six-stroke roll. So right, left, right, left, left. Right, left, right, left, left. which can be really fun. Say you put your, maybe it's your toms. All that speed is coming from that double stroke that I showed you guys in the beginning. Okay, and to learn that double stroke is just slowing that down. Okay, are my wrists flat? Am I using my arm? Am I gripping the stick tight? Am I loosening up to keep those strokes even? They all just kind of piggyback off of everything. They just piggyback off of each other. So I included a bunch of these pages, these rudimental pages. That have been super helpful. Let's look at page 11. Actually, let's look at page 11. So, page 11. Is the same kind of idea that we've been working on. This is from the book, Linear Drumming. And this deals with that same idea of just building on top of one another, moving the eighth note, moving which beat you're using. Okay, so the basis would be quarters. It's kicking, hi-hat, snare drum, and hi-hat. Into eighth notes on number two. Let's stay on number one. Okay? Let's go to 1B. One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and. Okay? C. D. Back to one. B. C. D. Okay, and so on. And basically the idea would be to get the basic pattern down at a slow tempo and then to gradually speed this up. Okay? We want to get to this to the place where these are really smoking, like at 60 to 80. 60 is your bass tempo, but 80 or 90 would be. Okay? Does that make sense? So these are all of these things that I've showed you so far, the singles, the doubles, the paradiddles, these triplet exercises, these are all things that I learned way in the beginning when I started drumming. And these are still the things that I revisit today. And even when I'm trying to grow my palate, I'm trying to expand and find new grooves and find new fills, I always find myself going back to old rudiments, something I've skipped over. Like these six-stroke rolls, I've known six-stroke rolls my whole entire life, but I've never applied them in that way because I'd never seen anybody do that. I mean, I heard a fill that I really liked, and I just thought, oh, that's so awesome. How can I do that? And they're just applying all of these old rudiments, all of these basic rudiments. Like, how far can you go with doubles, double strokes? You know, how far can you go with paradiddles? How far can you go with singles? Things like that, basic things like that. And that is what's going to make all the difference, because at the end of the day, it's not really about all the fills you're playing. It's really about keeping consistent time, making sure that things are landing. If you're doing a fill, it's better to land a basic fill than to try some fancy fill and not land it. And so that's kind of what I want to just communicate and help you guys out with. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the two things that I would do is I would work on just teaching him how to use a click track by himself, just turning on a metronome, and a book like Stick Control. Hey, go through these 12 exercises, because they're, you know, every drummer in the history of drumming has gone through, you know, this book. And so to kind of communicate that to your drummer, hey, this is what everybody's done. Try this. And, you know, that's super helpful, because it's just going to lock in those eighth notes. And then on top of that, I don't know how much time you have in rehearsals, but sometimes it's just really convenient to turn on a metronome and everybody's playing together. Everybody's playing to a metronome. Because, I mean, there's so many gigs I get on that I'm playing to a metronome. I'm playing to a click. But it's always a really sensitive area, too, that you want to just kind of know how to wade those waters with that drummer. Especially if there's a lot of drummers and it's kind of inconsistent between week to week. I think it will lock in so well if they're using click track. Or they're using some sort of metronome that maybe you're cueing or they're cueing. Try it in rehearsal, you know, and see if you can get used to it. You know, it's obviously not something you just roll in on Sunday and say, this is what we're doing. You know, it's something that you want to grow, you want to help them grow and build. You don't want to just throw them into the deep end, you know, because it can be hard to play, but I think it'd be helpful. Because there is an element of not wanting to be distracting, you know, not wanting it to, if it's moving so much that it's causing, like, distraction, you know, you can try to use a metronome. I think it'd be helpful. Yeah. Yeah, it consists. Yeah, I think, again, I would say two things. I would say, one, you don't want to be a total stickler on it because, you know, things will move around. And I was always in the camp of bass and kick should always be doing the same thing at all times. But the more you kind of expand your palate and the more music you're listening to, you realize they're not always, like, together. Like, maybe Ryan does that really well, too. You know, maybe he's climbing up the neck and he's doing more of a sort of padded line in the verse. I'm not going to stay off the kick. I might simplify my pattern. But maybe write it in the music. That would be my second suggestion. So, one, you don't want to worry too much about it. But then maybe you can write it in the music. Maybe the kick pattern is one and, three and. You just write in two eighth notes, one and, three and. Hey, remember on V2, this is where we're going, just so we remember. We'll stay consistent, you know, so you can write it in your music. I think that would be helpful. I've done that. I've been on recording sessions where there is a sort of consistency I need to hold. Just writing it in, it's just great. It's super helpful. Yeah, good, just great questions. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a nightmare. No, I think it's a nightmare. I think because everybody's going to interpret that click differently. Some people are going to be in front of the beat. Some people are going to be behind the beat. And so it's like, I just think the drummer should have it. And then just, you know, I don't think it's necessary on ballads, things like that. Maybe it is if it's just slowing down a lot or it's moving a lot. But I feel like if the drummer can just keep this sort of consistency, if a guitar is playing or piano is playing, just maybe quarter notes on the ride to kind of tell everybody where we are, I think is more helpful than everybody having the click. Because say you fall behind, but they still hear it. It just, I would probably keep it in the drummer's ears. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Just from my experience, I feel like, you know, I've played with a worship leader who was in front of the click, and so he had a tendency to push. And so it's like, who's going to keep him from pushing if we all have click, you know? So, and the drummer can do the same thing too. That's why you need to be, you know, solid on the click. So, yeah. Yeah, great question. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you get it's something that you get used to. You start to fall in love with it. At the beginning, I don't know a drummer who loved having something beating their head, you know, every beat. In the beginning, for sure, it can be really distracting. That's why you want to really flesh that stuff out in rehearsal. But eventually, it just becomes your best friend, especially if you're doing stuff outside of Sunday mornings. Maybe you're practicing to a click. You know, maybe you're doing a 10-minute a day thing or whatever, or whenever you have time. Just sit down, set up your click, play to it. You'll instantly see results. We'll see a change in the groove and how it feels, for sure. So yeah, you don't like it at first, but it's something that you eventually, all the old cats say that it just disappears, you know? It just disappears. Someone sets it, and then it disappears just because they've gotten so used to it. So it'd be nice to be there and just have that sort of consistency every time. But yeah, it's just someone constantly beating you over the head, and it's just like you either can be on or you'll be off, you know? And so I think it's good. Oh, I know. Right. Yeah. Totally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I would give it a long time before you actually used it in your actual performance. It's sort of a helpful guide in the rehearsals. So if you're practicing in the rehearsals to that click, it sort of just ingrains that time in them. But if it was a live setting, say you got to the place where you felt comfortable enough to be, you know, playing to click in the actual setting, you would want a drummer who would be able to, like, maybe turn it off if it got to a point where it was just out of hand, which I've had to do multiple times. Just turn it off. Yeah. Instead of catch up, that can be hard because you can just kind of lose your place. And then you realize, oh, I'm in the middle of a chorus, or I'm not supposed to be playing here, but this is constantly pounding in my ear. So maybe turn it off. But I would think it'd be a helpful rehearsal tool instead of a performance tool in the beginning. So if they've been used to it, if they've been taking lessons and they've been practicing the click and they feel comfortable with a click, then yeah, for sure. Then they're probably comfortable enough to turn it off too, you know. But if you're just introducing that to a drummer, is my point, I would keep it in rehearsals, in the rehearsal setting. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Okay, let's look at the cajon really quick. I don't know if you guys ever come across using the cajon. But it can be super helpful and super useful. If you don't have a cajon, or maybe you might not be in a context that your church uses one, I think you should get one. I think they're awesome, and I think they're so useful, especially if you're going to a camp, you know, and you want to bring percussion or something. I know a lot of people use like a djembe, but I've had so much more fun with a cajon than I've ever had with a djembe because I feel like I can get so much different tonality out of it. But basically, how a cajon works is there are different cajons. There's cajons that don't have guitar strings in them. This one does. This one gives me kind of more of a snare drum clap. And so basically what it is just a panel of wood. Two panels of wood, this one's going all the way down, this one's on the outside. And then inside this sound hole, there are guitar strings that are strung from the top to the bottom that basically give it like a rattle. Okay, so you kind of have like kick and snare. Sounds cool, right? You can use it for so many things. Okay? So basically, I would use the same exact approach on cajon as I would on any sort of snare drum. I would be working with a metronome. I'd be working on eighth notes and different groove patterns, okay? So say you have three groove patterns you want to learn. Four on the floor, which is going to be kick, snare, kick, snare. Okay, your kick's going to be in the middle. Snare's going to be upper left. Or if you're left-handed, it's going to be upper right. And you just set a metronome, and you get comfortable here. Or maybe it's kick, kick, snare, kick, kick, snare. You're just working with that metronome, okay? And then there's, beyond that, there's things you can do. Like I've had fun with ghost notes, like these doubles on the snare drum, applying that same thing but using your fingers. One E and a, okay, so one E and a. One E and a, two E and a, three E and a, four E and a. Again, the stuff that sounds fun is just tedious. The result is pretty fun when you get into ghost notes. Okay, does that make sense? Again, it's that tedious work. It's just that working on that's kind of slow consistency. And then getting beyond that, kind of more of the like advanced cajoning, if that's even something, would be like getting into, I've noticed when I was watching a lot of cajon players, I felt like they were constricted to only using their hand as the kick drum. Okay, let's call it. Always down here. And there wasn't a lot of variance in the patterns that they were playing. And I mean, this is like getting into heavy percussionists and watching how they work and things like that. And so I started using my right foot to kick as the kick, but backwards, right? I'm not getting as much tonal depth as I would be with my hand. But it frees up this hand now. So, again, you take a slow pattern like a kick, snare, kick, kick, snare, super slow. To a metronome. Okay? Now I'm going to get eighth notes with this shaker because I freed up a hand now. We'll put in those 16th ghost notes. Again, it's just doing it slow, starting slow and then gradually speeding up. That make sense? So a ton of fun things you can do with a cajon is just what I wanted to show you. Again, with basic technique and basic rudiments and rhythm, you can. That's where you start. That's where you start, and that's how it grows. It grows into more complicated beats and rhythm. Cool. Any questions? Any thoughts? Yeah. 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 Those as well. Right. I've seen those. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, the on and off switch, too, that was helpful. That reminded me that there are cajones that you can do that. I've always loved fat conga. I've played multiple fat conga cajones that I just think are, they sound the best. Yeah. 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 Or in both, how you can switch between both would be really cool. Yeah. So this is a company called Fat Conga. It has a, some of them don't have this pad on top, just a kind of cushion. So I don't know exactly what. Yes. Yes. Right, I've seen those. Yeah, this is pretty basic. This is pretty, it's kind of an older cajon actually, but it's pretty basic. And so a lot of cajons you'll see, like if you walk into a guitar center, are very thin. They're thinner than this. And they don't have any strings. It's just a block of wood. And I mean, they're cool because you can do a lot of stuff with a block of wood, but not as fun as you just heard with like the snare drum sounds and things. But this would just be the plain wood.
If you are playing with those, okay? Still sounds really cool. You can do a lot of stuff with it as well, too. You know, any instrument you add pressure, you can change the pitch. Right? You've seen that with, like, floor toms or snare drums. Maybe someone will bend the pitch. You can do the same exact thing. So I use my foot. And I kind of place it up against the cajon. And you can hear that pitch climb. So maybe you don't want that full impact of that kick quite yet. Then you just pat it. I get both
tones with one drum. Okay, I have that wood side that you can do a lot of kind of world, you know, percussion stuff with. And then I get this side, which almost sounds a little bit more hip-hop to me with that kick and snare sound. That can be really helpful and give you kind of more toys to play with besides just that djembe. So that could be helpful, yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Cool. I'll just talk about one more thing.
So
Sunday to Sunday, getting more creative with drum beats. We talked a little bit about it with just using that paradiddle and how to apply different rudiments to actual drum beats. What I want to encourage you guys to do is to take a beat you know, but change it in a way that's going to give you more options. Okay, so whether it's a four on the floor beat or it's just a simple, plain and simple groove. There's something that I've learned that's very cool. What you can do is start with the lowest subdivision, okay? That would be 16th notes, okay? In every exercise, okay, we have quarter notes, eighths, and sixteenths. One, two, three, four, one and two and three and four and one E and a, two E and a, three E and a, four E and a. Okay, so using 16th notes as the lowest common denominator subdivision, we can pick any of those notes, one, E, and a. And an exercise to do this would be to play a slow beat and set 16th notes on your metronome. One, E, and a, two, E, and a, three, E, and a, four, E, and a. Okay? One, E, and a, two, E, and a, three, E, and a, four, E, and a. So either quarters, eighths, or sixteenths. Those would be eighths, sixteenths. Okay, and it affects everything, those sixteenth notes. It affects your hi-hat. To put sixteenth notes in your hi-hat. One and two and a three and four and one and two and a three and four and. So you just took this beat and made it sound so much more funky. Okay? What about the snare drum? One E and a two E and a three E and four E and a one E and a two E and a three E and four E and a one E and a two E and a three E and four E and a one E and a two E and a three E and four E and a. Okay, back to this beat. What about the kick? One E. One E. One E. One E. And four and one E. Two E and a three and four E and a one E and a two E and a three E and a four E and a one E and a two E and a three E and a four E and a. One E and a three E and a four. Okay, so without books, just by yourself, you're taking 16th notes and creating new patterns just from 16th notes. 16th notes that are already playing in the background, okay? They're already here. Three E and a four E and a one. Two, you can choose from any of them. Okay, and coming up with new, fresh ideas from that. But the most important thing to walk away from is how are you moving with the metronome? How are you sitting with the metronome? And are you using the right technique around the drums with the snare drum and the hi-hat? Okay, cool. So I hope I gave you a lot to think about, and hopefully you can walk away and be able to kind of navigate each one of those pages in that packet. My goal of just giving you all of this information was so that if you wanted to, you could walk away and work through this packet on your own. If you wanted added help, my email's on the back. You can send me any questions you ever have, any lesson inquiries if you wanted to take a lesson or talk more about this topic. I'd be happy to do that. Thanks for bearing with me. These are kind of awkward of, like, what do I tell you and what do we work through? So hopefully I was able to be helpful to you guys, and I mean, the church is the most important place we can go and the most important place we can serve. So if we can be the best at doing that for God's glory and for the congregation, then there's nothing better than that. So I hope you guys are encouraged, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Come say hi after we play tonight with Enfield. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great songs. I think we're playing all Sovereign Grace songs because they're just so good. So yeah, if any questions you guys have, just come stop me somewhere or shoot me an email. If I can serve you in any way, please let me know. So thanks for hanging out. All right.
You've been listening to a seminar by David Zimmer entitled Advanced Drumming, Craft and Creativity, recorded at the Worship God West 2014 conference. For more information on Worship God conferences and Sovereign Grace Ministries, please visit our website at www.sovereigngraceministries.org.